Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Music, wine, and then lube up and get on top.
The glory hole's like a dick theater. I've imagined your pants.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another week here at By the By.
Hello.
Yes. We have Bradford After Dark, apparently.
Hello, this is Bradford After Dark.
And this is just regular Angela. Daytime Angela.
Daytime Angela. Daytime. Yes, and tonight we are coming at you from fortnightly, bi-weekly. This is our first one that we're doing every other week.
I know, it's exciting.
So very excited for that.
Yeah.
Yes, and we aren't alone. We are sitting here with I'm not going to say a new friend, but going to be new to the podcast listeners.
Yeah.
We are sitting here with the lovely, the delightful, the gorgeous Jen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And we're very happy to have you here. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast, the next pendulum is April 26th.
Not far away now.
Not like far away
six
now.
6 weeks, not far.
That's right. And so you know, it's got a theme.
Yes.
And I know that you're waiting for me to give you that theme.
Are we waiting in Antissa?
Say it.
Patient.
That's right. We are doing a Rocky Horror Pendulum Party. Very excited. So April 26th, put it on your calendar. Of course, you know, dressing up isn't required, but you better fucking dress up. It, worst case scenario is you go as a virgin, Brad and Janet, just come in your underwear.
Yeah.
It'd be great. I love it. It's going to be awesome. Yes. Then we also have our Escape to the Tropics, which is November 8th.
12th.
12th. 12th. Yes, November 12th through the 18th,
yeah.
And that is in far north Queensland, very soon. So we've already offered the rooms to folks who had gone last year, which, sorry, it's, you know, got to get the returning folks first. Those tickets will go on sale very soon. In fact, I think like very soon.
Like this week, yeah.
Like this week.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. You can find more information at www.bytheby.com.au or just .com now. I keep forgetting that we've got the .com now. Woohoo! And then lastly, a big shout out to our Discord folks. We love you. If you want to support us and join us on our Discord channel, all you have to do is support us at any level on www.patreon.com/bytheby podcast. And you will get whisked away into our Discord world. And we'd love to see you there. We'd love to have you there. All right. This last week was a busy one for us.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Jen had... She had come to us and said, I'm going to say it the way I heard it.
Oh, like, no. I don't know how I said it.
G'day, friends. I'm going to our secret spot for newbie night, and I'd really, really appreciate it if you came along with me.
I
don't know why I'm cockney.
Why does she sound British?
Oh, mate, little bottle, like, totally, like.
It'll be sexy. It's sexy, isn't it? No,
in it,
she,
like.
She didn't say that. She was much more, g'day, cunts.
Yeah, okay, I think that's probably more accurate.
Oh, oi.
Fucking oath, mate.
Fucking oath. Want to go with me, get my rocks off? Yes, so she had told us that she was going to the newbie night at OSS.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we said, fuck yeah. It's like, why not? We hadn't been in ages.
Oh, we haven't been to a newbie night in, yeah, years. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And I know that they're, well, obviously now I know because we've been. But before we went, we knew that they had been doing things slightly differently. And so there's a talk at the beginning, there's group tours. And so it's like, all right, we know that, things have changed a bit. And obviously the new space, it's a little different. So we wanted to go and see what it was like as well. So it was good to be able to go and experience it through your eyes and support you, Jen, as well as kind of re-experience it ourselves.
I was going to say it very much was great to have you with me because it was supporting a friend in need in so many ways.
I mean, we're happy to support friends at the Swingers Club. You know, that's always a good need to have.
Absolutely. We're here for our friends. We're also at OSS for our friends. It just happens. So I guess the first question is, what made you decide that you wanted to go? Because you decided completely independently of us and then just told us, what do you think? Should I buy tickets? And we were like, yeah. And then you were like, okay, I bought a ticket. Wow. On our couch.
Yeah, that's true. I bought tickets. Okay, I'm done. I think it's something I've wanted to do for a little while. And obviously having met you, y'all, having met y'all and hearing about sort of your stories and your experience kind of helped me feel a bit more confident to do it. And I've been sort of dabbling, shall we say, in sort of some of the kink and play world, but never really had the confidence to say, okay, now's the time, we're going to go. So it was probably a combination of just, yeah, building that confidence over time, but also having a bit of a chat with one of my friends who is looking to swing with her partner. And so it came up in conversation that same day. And then I was seeing you guys that evening. So when I got there, I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask what they think in my very Australian accent. And then I'm just going to buy a ticket and what will be will be. And I think it was having the conversation with y'all that made me go, you know what? No matter what happens, there's no expectations. I can just go see what it's like. Mm. I can walk out the door if I need to. I can have a break if I need to.
Yeah.
World's your oyster.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great attitude to have going into it.
Yeah. It is funny because I love that you were talking to your friend about it. Why didn't her and her partner come?
Now that I've been to one, I think I'm glad that they did it. I don't think it's what they thought it was going to be. I think they thought they were going to have a very nice little tour and chat, which there was. And then I think they thought they were going to have a drink with people and clothes were probably going to stay on. And
well, they can if you want them to.
Certainly, certainly. I think they would have been quite shocked.
Yeah.
Right.
Fair enough.
It is interesting because there are clubs that are like that. Mm. I'm thinking about Between Friends wine bar down in Melbourne, but OSS is definitely one of those. You can absolutely stay clothed and be very comfortable. However, you will see people in certain stages of
dress down,
disrobement.
And I think I knew that, but there was this moment where I was listening to my friend speak and she was like, oh, so we'll get to meet other people. I'm like, yeah, you'll get to do that. And she's like, and we'll have a drink. Yep, you'll get to do that. And then maybe there'll be a party that's not newbie night. And then maybe people will take clothes off. And I was
okay.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were your expectations? What did you think it was going to be like?
That's such a good question. I think I tried really hard not to have any, which, you know what, was equal parts a great idea and also a terrible idea.
Okay. Explain.
And I think by not setting expectations, I didn't set myself up to kind of have any kind of time. Mm-hmm. So it meant that I was like, right, whatever this looks like and whoever I meet, okay, Sarah. However, I think I probably should have thought a little bit more through what I wanted to get out of the experience. Not so much what I wanted to do, but more like, how do I want to walk away feeling? And I think that was probably a little conversation I would recommend anyone who's going to their first anything, newbie night or otherwise, kind of how you sit down with yourself and you go, how do I want to feel at the end of this? Yeah. Because I was like, there was definitely a lot of moments where I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go there or if I don't want to go there or if I want to do this. So I just sat there going, I'll hang out with my friends.
Paralyzed by indecision.
Yes.
And that's interesting because that's how we approach kink scenes is how do you want to feel? What do you want to get out of it? And I don't know why, but I've never really thought about that from a swinger experience because I think of those experiences as more of a what do I want to do as opposed to and a bit of how do I want to feel.
Who do I want to do?
Yeah, but less of that. But I guess that's because I pretty well know how I'm going to feel most of the time. Not always. Like, I still surprise myself, but yeah, that's an interesting way to approach it. I like that.
Mm.
Yeah. So I know this is completely out of order, but how did you feel walking away at the end?
Tired. It's probably the first one.
I mean, it was fucking late.
It was late. It was like
pushing 2 o'clock.
Man, I was
after a work full day of work.
I don't think it was after one. I think it was because they close at one.
I got home at probably 1:30.
Okay,
I would say
yeah.
Good. I was glad I went because I think there's such a beautiful feeling of community with people who do it, who go on the regular, I would say. Yeah. Like the people that I did meet that were sort of like, oh, you're new and we're here all the time, were just like the most lovely, genuine, amazing people. And again, got to hang out with my favorite people of all. Yes.
Go on.
Yes, no, stop it. Keep going. But I think the expectation question you asked before where you sort of said, you know, what were your expectations going in? And I said, well, probably should have set some extra ones. I didn't realize how many couples were going to be there that weren't interested in a single. Did that make sense?
Yes.
It was, and I mean, you guys can probably confirm or deny this. But I think there was a lot of, as it says in the name, newbies, including myself, which meant that there were couples who were mostly there to hang out with each other, which is beautiful and amazing and definitely do that. But I was like, hey.
So I did see a lot of couples either playing with each other and not necessarily others upstairs. And then also couples who were doing the swap thing. Mm. And so soft swap, full swap, whatever. So they had another couple that they were then switching partners with. When I was walking around upstairs, I saw a lot of that. I know that there were some other single females. And I think as a single on a newbie night like this, where people are still, I'm going to say a bit more closed. Maybe they don't know what the options are. They're just dipping their toe in the water as well. And so while some people think that a third is a really great thing, acting on it is very different. And so I think that if you're a single on a newbie night where there's a lot of couples who are doing the couple thing, you're going to have to be a bit more aggressive to break into that.
Yeah.
And there were also some single guys. There were two that I talked to downstairs in particular that were super nice, really friendly. And I was kind of like, okay, I, you know, wasn't really playing, but I was like, if I were to play with a single guy, like y'all are both really nice and they were respectful. So it's like, this isn't bad, but they were more forward. And so they, you know, would come up and speak to you.
You know, what's hilarious is we've spoken since and I was like, there were no other single women there. It was just me. And you're like, no. There were some. I'm like, dang. But that was what happened when Bradford and I were talking for a little bit in the beginning, and there was just this moment where I was like, you know me. I'm not like this. I'm not scared. Me standing there scared.
There was a voiceover, said Jen in fear.
I'm not scared. She said, scared. it was a totally alien experience for me because, you know, y'all have seen me at parties, at gatherings, new people I don't know, weird situations, bad, whatever. Like, I'm good. In that environment, I felt like I was a totally different person.
It's funny. Like, it is one of those things because it's such a, I don't want to say weird, but it's not what we normally do, right? It's not what you do on even a normal weekend. For some people, for us it is, but how you can be like, I don't want to say it's uncomfortable in your own skin, but only because there's so many other things that are racing through your head.
There's also a lot of stimulation.
Yeah. Music, people, lights, it's intense.
Yeah.
So, and I'll say, talking back to the point of couples, I think the problem is until a couple gets to the club, they come in together and they're like, if we play, we're going to swap. And as soon as there's a single, no matter the gender, what they realize is, wow, unless we really work hard on it, somebody is always going to be left out. Mm. And it can work where all three people are playing, but realistically, somebody is always going to be on the outs just a bit. And that can be awkward for a couple, especially when they're playing for the first time.
And as I say, new couples.
And I think a lot of men are men are the worst at this. Not in some cases, men are the worst, period.
Oh, yeah.
But that, you know, you've got that expectation of performance in, and then suddenly now it's two women and it's like, holy shit, brain explode.
Yeah.
And you know what I think would have helped, and probably I found I wasn't ready for, was competition for space. I thought that was such a wild situation to find yourself in a place where it's like, here's our capacity. This is how many tickets we've sold, and we know how many people are going to walk through the door. Please wait in line for this bed space.
Yeah.
So it was interesting because at one point when we went upstairs, it's funny because I think it wasn't that busy in the orgy room.
No, it wasn't.
Because there were people along the ottomans watching, of course, and a few people standing. I forget, there were probably maybe six people on the back two orgy beds.
Yeah.
And then each of the other beds had a couple on them.
Yeah.
Now, they were taking up, the couple was taking up probably three quarters of each bed. So I'm looking at it going, you know what? There's a good chunk of space at the end of that bed. We could go up there and say, hey, you know, do you mind if we use this space here? But I also could read your face, and I could tell that you were, I'm speaking to Jen now, by the way, not Bradford. But
who would have thought?
I could tell that Jen was a bit, I don't know if overwhelmed is the right word, but I could tell that if we took up that tiny bit of space, you would not have been comfortable.
You had a bit of a deer in the headlights.
I was absolutely, because all I could think was like seeing the couples that were on there, you know, doing what they were doing, having their time. I was like, if I were in that couple, and someone interrupted me to be like, hey, sorry, I would tap this mic if I felt like I was allowed to tap it.
You can.
But like, yes, excuse me. It doesn't work.
Nothing, does
oh,
it?
Boo. See, so upset. That's really,
you have to do that.
Fucked up my moment. And I was like.
Yeah, there you go.
Excuse me. Sorry. Hey, sorry, can I know? Yep. Good, looking good. Can I just, if you could just.
Ooh, nice little, form.
looking great. Can I just have this little, is that cool? Like, I just felt like I would be absolutely fucking horrified.
You should
if
see.
If someone interrupted me while I was like this, particularly the time we walked in, there was this gorgeous person who was like riding this cock, like feet planted, like doing like up down squats, like working. Oh my goodness. Like fitness 101, like living their best life. And I was like, I can't interrupt that person.
Well, you also pick a moment to interrupt, right? That's probably not the best moment.
So I will say, I have a very vivid memory of Angela and I playing on one of the beds, and she's literally sitting on my face, straddling me, and somebody asked for space, and I could hear it barely between her thighs. And she's like, we need to move over. And I was like, and like moving over shoulder, shimmy, hip, shimmy, shoulder, shimmy. Hip, while she's still sitting on my face. Yeah. Yeah. And we gave them space.
Yeah. And also, it also doesn't have to be like a big, big conversation, right? Sometimes it can just be a, you know, catch their eye and kind of point kind of thing. Or it can just be a, hey, do you mind? Or can we use this little bit of space? Like, it can be a very quick thing. But it is also, if you can tell that they're super in the moment, then just give it a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when you just get your flag out and you're like, I claim this in name of by the by.
Pull out my little merch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me. I put this towel down. It's for me.
This is my cum rag.
It's for me.
That's funny. Yeah. Mm. It's,
it is overwhelming though. And you think, I'm definitely someone who thinks of themselves and goes, I'm pretty tough. I'm pretty confident. Pretty good. In those moments, there was this recognition that I was like, nope.
It's also a very different world to anything you've ever been in, right? Mm.
So I think my advice to anyone listening would be kind to yourself. Go in. You won't feel like yourself, probably, maybe. And then you'll walk out going, I would have done everything differently. And that's why you go again.
I was going to ask, would you go again?
To a newbie night or to an OSS event or...
Either. What would you do next?
I definitely, unless you would, sat me down and convinced me, I would not do a newbie night again. And I think obviously it was so great and I'm glad I went, because that initial talk or the little tour that you go on and like the little introduction, I'm going to call it like an induction / orientation.
That's a great induction / orientation.
It's like onboarding.
How fucking corporate.
Yes. Can you tell? The onboarding course, the short course, Fast Start, where they're like, look, this is what this is. Here are where things are. Mm-hmm. If this happens, that's okay. or if this doesn't happen, that's also okay. And showing you where things are, explaining bits and pieces, I think it really takes the pressure off as well. Even there were moments where our tour guide,
Lawrence,
Lawrence had just a couple of things that he pointed out. He was like, this is what this is for. If you're new, it's probably not for you, and that's okay. Yeah. You don't need to feel freaked out about not knowing what it is because it's a specialized skill. Moving on. And you're like immediately that kind of like knot in your shoulder from kind of feeling like, oh God, I should know what that is. It's like, oh, okay, that's not for me, and that's okay. That's good.
So right. let's back up to the talk that was done.
Yeah.
So about 30 minutes into the night, so doors open at 8. At 8:30, they got up on stage. Lawrence and
Joseph,
the manager, got up on stage and they gave a talk. It was a really good talk. It went through a lot of this is what Newbie Night is. This is the expectation. This is conversations you should have had with your partner before getting here. If you haven't, that's fine. You need a quiet space. Let us know. We'll show you a quiet space. You can have that conversation now, you know, before you get into the night. This is, you know, things that you might want to consider kind of thing. He even defined soft swap, full swap for people who hadn't thought about it or didn't know the terms maybe for what they wanted to do. And they went through safety protocols. They went through consent. I don't even know what else, but it was a very thorough
talk. And they did it in a narrative format, which yeah. I really like, so that, and Lawrence actually spoke to me about this before, that in the past, it was like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And people were like, it's really negative.
What can we do?
Yeah. And he's coming at it and he's sort of taken this script or this concept and he's got such a really good positive spin on it, but packed full of little advice tidbits and like the before you go, you should know kind of things. And it's really nice.
As a person who works in a job, which I won't talk about here, where a lot of what I do is storytelling and saying, imagine this, or we start here. I thought they did an incredible job of saying, you've arrived. You're feeling this kind of way. You're wanting to know where this is.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, you may be feeling a bit ready to have a conversation. Have you talked about this? Have you checked if you have these things? And it was just this really, as you put, it was this beautiful narrative that had accompanied that the training session.
Then we get to OH&S.
Yeah. Your exits are here, here, here. Your entrances are here.
Please follow the on the floor lighting. So after the initial talk, then there's the tour. They split us up into two groups. I went with Joseph. You two went with Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Joseph took us upstairs first and just went over the upstairs, took us into the orgy room. Like, it was kind of fun. At that point, I was less watching him and more watching the eyes of the newbies because I was a Confederate and non-newbie in disguise. And it's kind of funny because some people are like, you know, you hear him giggle and they look at you and they're like, you know, I'm doing the big-eyed, like, I have no idea what I'm doing face. Uh-huh. That was nice. So Lawrence took you all down to the dungeon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we started down there and... And that was one of those moments that where he said, you don't need to know what this is necessarily, because they have a bar set up for suspension, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, this is a very specialized skill. Like, basically, you can bring your own stuff and do it here. We do not provide that. And so, but he just introduced everyone to the dungeon space. Again, some kind of rules and boundaries, respectful types of things, behavior, expectations, I guess. But talking about the spaces, like, you know, you've got the A-frame, there's the spanking bench, the massage bench, there was Nuru gel in the dispenser. They have the cabinet with a few like handcuffs and floggers and things. If you want that, go talk to the bar staff to check it out. So he just kind of went through what all was down in the dungeon space downstairs and a bit of an introduction to it and not really too in-depth, obviously, but just kind of like, here it is, if you're interested in playing with any of this stuff or exploring it and checking it out. What was interesting is that there were two couples that within a minute or two of getting down there went back upstairs. They did not stay in that space down there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, so, hey, if it's not your stuff, it's not your stuff.
Clearly not for them. And I did not pay attention to whether they rejoined when we went upstairs or not.
One couple stuck around and the other didn't. Oh, I didn't see them again.
Okay.
So
they just left.
I think so. But you know what?
We've seen it before. Yeah. Like, we've seen it before. People are like, you know what? We were wrong. This isn't for us.
Or I'm really overwhelmed. I need to be out of the space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try again next week. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that it was a good, I know it was a gag, but even the opening address, which was, does everyone know why we're here?
Yeah.
Does everyone know what you've signed up to be at?
But there are people who get to the club and maybe their partner hasn't told them.
Yeah, so we've been at the club when that has happened.
Yeah.
A fella brought a lady and she had no idea what she was getting into.
Okay.
No, that is not
okay.
You know
that comment you said before where it's sometimes men are the worst?
Yeah.
It's those moments.
Yeah, that man was the worst.
That man, the worst, yeah.
But that's why, you know, when Lawrence starts his speech, he says that sort of jokingly, but also he's looking around because there can be someone who really has no idea that they've walked into a swingers club. Maybe they thought it was a nightclub or something. I don't know. But so he's kind of, you know, he's looking, he's making sure that people know what they're there for and what they're in for. Because if you don't, you're not going to have a good time and it's going to end up being a big blow up for everybody around.
Which could be bad for more people.
Not good. Yeah.
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 So when Joseph took our group downstairs, he made a really funny comment about the massage table. Like, this is a massage table. Still don't know why that hole there is in the middle, which is just clever.
Yeah.
But then he actually said something. He talked about getting some of the kit from the cabinet. And he was like, you know, one thing you can't do is renegotiate terms of a kink scene in the middle of a scene. He was like, you know, the endorphins go all crazy and you're willing to do anything at that point because it's just really positive feeling. He goes, and you just can't do that. And I was like, wow, that's good.
That's really good advice. Yeah.
That's really good advice.
And good for newbies to hear, because if people are just like, because we've seen it where new people come in and they're like, oh, let's check out the spanking bench. And so they kind of get into it, or like they do go get the floggers and they're really, you know, going to town on their partners. And then, and it's easy for someone to say, I want more, but also do you the next day, are you going to feel good about that? Like asking for more. So that's why I think it's really good to negotiate ahead of time and have your boundaries.
Well, that's kind of something that, you know, you said, Angela, when we first met and when we first played, you were like, hey, let's talk about what you want to do. And we can always play again later if you want more, but we need to have another conversation, like come down, have another conversation, and then we can play again later, but don't push in the moment. And it really, that really stuck with me when you said it, because it's such a powerful way of holding on to your autonomy and what you like and like love, like self-love in a way, to then be go, great, I'm ready to have more fun and I'm ready to kind of do this. And I think what you said, because you're funny and pretty. you said, because if I break my toys, I can't play with them anymore.
That's true.
And I was like, fucking A.
But the other side of that I love when I hear Angela say that to people, because it is such a sexy dom thing to
such
say.
Such a turn on.
Right?
Oh my God.
It is that, because the way you say it with such clear, concise control. And you're like, and we can play again. We will play again. But we will renegotiate those terms when we do it. And I'm like, oof.
Yeah. And I think that's an easy spot for, but also you gotta think about, like, if a couple's playing with each other, particularly in that space, it's not like they're playing with new people or somebody different often, sometimes, but usually if people are just checking out the space, it's with their partner.
Yeah.
You can always play with them again. They're still there. They ain't going anywhere. I mean,
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, of course you can. Like, just stick to what you're like, okay, let's just try a little bit of spanking. Try the spanking. Then, you know, if you want to go further, fine, do that another time. But yeah. No, so we went upstairs, back to the tour. We went upstairs with Lawrence and he sat down on one of the beds and I could tell, like, people were lining up around the, like where the ottomans are at the ends, they were kind of standing around. So Jen and I went and sat on a bed across from Lawrence because we were like, let's get people like in comfortable. Like, you know, we're not, this isn't a lineup.
Not with that attitude.
And so, yeah, Lawrence went through and started doing his whole talk. And I thought it was good. He did make one kind of joke that didn't quite land with a lot of newbies. Oh, so God. I kind of laughed and you look around and everybody else is like,
Which one was it?
It was
I remember he even talking about
daddy.
It.
It was the fuck me harder daddy.
That one. Well, we both laughed. I know.
So for everybody on the podcast, I will probably butcher it a little bit. But basically he was talking about the couches on the other side of the play space. So outside of the private rooms, there are some couches there. And he's like, you know, it's not really a chit chat area. Those are still play spaces. And so if you want to have a chat when you're finished or whatever, please go downstairs. We don't want you talking about your everyday life up here. That's not really sexy for people in the rooms to hear. Like, those are play couches. Like, you're supposed to have fun. So if you're over there, I want to hear fuck me harder, daddy. It was basically something to that extent. I laughed because I thought it was funny, but I'm not sure other people quite knew how to take him.
I love it.
I think there was a lot of like, I don't know what I'm allowed to do.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's a lot of that. And yeah. I think there was a lot of solace seeking in each other, which made sense, right? Because everyone's a little bit nervous. It's their first time, you know, like in all likelihood. And so there's this turn of like, did you hear that? Does that make sense? I don't get it. Do you get it? Okay, go, ha, ha, ha. Like, there's a bit of that.
I love it.
There were definitely some nervous giggles and things, yeah. But I thought it was great. I mean, I think that the information that was covered both in the talk downstairs, on the tours, you know, they, of course, went through condoms, dental dams, lubes, where everything is, bins. Please use the bins. I'd also be curious if people are better about using the bins now. Probably not.
No, but, not in our experience.
But please use the bins. Bins. We're just going to keep saying the word bins.
For you people in the U.S., she's talking about garbage cans.
God. Trash cans.
Trash cans.
Bin.
Bins.
Bin.
Bin.
Why there's so many vowels in that?
Yeah, so
I'm going to start singing Michael Jackson's Ben here in a second.
But it was a really, really good tour. I like the way they split everyone up because I do think, A, it's more efficient to have, you know, a big tour with everybody than lots of little tours. But also it does give people the chance to ask questions if they want to. Afterwards, Lawrence stuck around. He's like, if there's a question you have or something you want to know, you don't want to ask in front of the group, just come up to me privately. We saw a couple people go up to him and ask questions, which is good. So I think it was a good experience, in my opinion.
I just ask Angela all my questions.
Me too.
So if you don't have an Angela, you need a Lawrence.
You need a Lawrence. Or a Joseph.
Or Joseph.
I was really impressed with Joseph. He's an unsung hero. We haven't talked a lot about him, but he's a great asset to the club. So
Yeah, definitely.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm not sure when this will release, but where I sit right now, the next holiday is St. Patrick's Day. And if you want to get lucky on St. Patrick's Day, well, have I got a website for you. That's right. Go to adamandeve.com and make sure and use checkout code BYTHEBY. That's BYTHEBIY. Because you'll get 6 videos on demand. You'll get 1 item at 50% off and free discreet shipping. That's right. Get lucky. Luck of the Irish. Oh, Lord and Magora. Look at me. I've got me a dildo. It'll be so like, I mean, you're going to love it. It'll be great. Trust me. Yes. Pot of gold into the rainbow. They've probably got a rainbow dildo. So there you go. Luck of the Irish. Use checkout code BYTHEBY. 6 videos on demand, free shipping, and 1 item at 50% off, and always a few extra things thrown in your box. Curious Humans, you know we love it. But tonight we have a special question from the Kinky Humans box. That's right. Go to curioushumansgame.com and use checkout code BYTHEBY, BYTHEBI, for 10% off. And tonight's question is...
Hair pulling turns me on.
Hair pulling turns me on. Oh, we've got a yes.
We've got a very enthusiastic yes from Dennis.
Okay. So I was like, am I supposed to answer that?
But which hair? Like, is it like eyebrows? If I pull your eyebrows, does that turn you on?
I don't have enough eyebrow hairs for that. I don't
Not
know
with that attitude.
See,
this goes back to being specific with consent.
Yeah, right? Mm. Like, I love it when you pull my butt hair.
I don't have any of that. That's
I'm talking about me.
Oh, okay. Why didn't you say so? Be specific.
Ear hair, nose hairs. No. Angela does not like her hair pulled. I'm going to speak for her, though occasionally she will let me choke her. And I don't feel like I have enough hair to pull, but...
Not
like,
with that attitude.
But I do like it because I have longer hair up front. If you grab my hair on my head as I'm going down on you, I don't care about the gender. I do really enjoy that.
I was going to say, I do that sometimes with you, is I'll grab that, just a good chunk of it there.
Yeah. All right. So we have a yes, and a no. There you go. So that's what you can do. You can sit home, play this game with all of your friends, hell, your family if you're from East Kentucky. But yeah, Kinky Humans, go to curioushumansgame.com, use checkout code BYTHEBY. That's BYTHEBI. So we made it through the tour. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of drinks. I don't remember what. Oh, so I will say one thing we did do, one thing that happened. We got to meet one of our super fans.
Yes. Yes.
We know you're listening. I'm not going to say your name, but you know who you are.
We had some super fans. It was amazing.
It was really delightful.
Honestly, they were so lovely.
Yes.
Like I sat and chatted with them for a while at one point in the night, and it was fun. It was great. I like talking
nice,
to them.
Nice, smart humans.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that I've experienced in the recent past is she would ask me a question and then he would answer for me because he's listened to the podcast. And
you know what? I think we need to hire him to write your biography.
I know, right? If you want to ghostwrite my biography, by the by. Yes, it was super delightful to meet these humans and to have a chat with them and to talk to somebody who actually remembered the things that I say.
As opposed to you.
As opposed to me.
It was good though, because they had good energy. And I think it was the second time they'd been to the club. But I still remember like one of the first things they said when they saw us was, "What are you doing here? You're not a newbie."
Which I...
I'm like, they're protecting me.
It was really funny the way they said that in the like, "You don't belong here. You're not a... fake.
No, I think my favorite part was just walking past every time they walked past. It was, "Private, I love you."
I really
liked
it.
It was beautiful.
I got to be honest. I really liked that too.
Bradford likes his ego stroked.
Look, I like not just my ego stroked. I like a lot of things stroked. But if you're going to stroke just one thing, make it my ego. Oh my gosh. That was delightful. I remember us sitting and talking a lot and sort of...
And we went downstairs.
Yeah, we went downstairs, took some floggers.
I think that was one of my favorite parts. So, well, I think before that it was, I think you should do your crash course on body language. I think that if you haven't already done that on this podcast, I think everyone deserves to hear Bradford's crash course on body language.
My crash course on body language. I think we have done a couple of episodes on that. And if you go to our Escape to the Tropics, you'll get to experience my full hour-long TED Talk on body language and how to flirt like an adult. So
I'm laughing because the first thing I said, because I'm quite forthcoming, was like, if I just walk up to people and go, "Hi, yes, no, hi," and you were like, "Look, you could do that."
Well, you
or you could have a look.
I loved about it was I was clearly teaching somebody who had already learned all of this, because I was like, "Look at their feet." You're like, "I do look at their feet." I was like, "Yes, but where are they pointing?" "I know where they're pointing. If they're pointing towards the center, I shouldn't break the circle." I was like, okay, well.
Meanwhile, me being like, "But look at all the feet." And you were like, "Yes, but they're like this one person's open." I'm like, "Yeah, but they're in a couple and that person's not." And you're like, "Oh, but why don't you go over anyway?" I'm like, "That's not how this works."
And I was like, "And that's exactly how it works."
Yes, exactly. That was the missing piece.
This is while Angela was talking to one of the other couples, but it was funny because you were like, I can't do that. I'm like, well, you can here, but oh shit.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, if this was a, you know, at a club just normally, yeah, I'd be like, you know, she's clearly not interested, da-da-da, like I'll wait because it's not, you know, da-da-da, but no. You were like, hang on.
New rules.
But also you have to remember that generally most people there are new, and so
they don't know where their feet are either.
They're not thinking about their body language. Their body language is truly subconscious. Because I will say that at times at the club, I am very aware of my body position, particularly in a group. And so if there's a group of us standing near the bar, I will try to be a bit more open because I want people to feel like they can come up and join in if they want to. But most people there aren't. And especially if you're new, you're not thinking about your body language. The fact that I would say one person of the couple is open, I would take that as it's okay to go in and say hi to them and introduce yourself. Because likely if one person in the couple's open, the other one probably is too. They're just so used to being in society where you don't talk to people.
Mm, no, you make a really good point. Meanwhile, I'm here like during goddess pose. For any of you who do yoga, like it's just both feet are pointed out, so out. They are so very out.
And then I was doing downward dog and like nobody was sniffing my rear. So I was like, all right, well, I guess.
Dang.
Oh, dang.
Dang.
Dang, dang, diddly dang.
Dang, dang.
So, and just to add to the one person being open, the other one not, in that kind of a space, if you walk up to them, I think that what you've got to get out of your head, which I think you had in your head, was I'm going to walk up to a couple and we're going to fuck. And it's like,
oh,
right?
Hang on, I nodded before you finished that sentence. I don't know, like,
because of the location, because of where you are. So you're in a swingers sex club. So the assumption is that if you approach somebody, you want to have sex with them. And you're not sure of that yet. You're still new. And that's true of all the newbies. So you need to sort of get around that in your head and go, actually, if I walk up and talk to somebody, it is literally just to walk up and talk to them.
Do you know what? That's actually a really good call out. And I'll tell you why that's created a new neural pathway in my brain. There was one of the single guys that I saw from across the way, and I saw him interact with a few people. It seemed lovely, but I looked and I thought, absolutely not. And that's okay. We're allowed to kind of how we feel about, and people will look at me and feel that way too. That's fine. And therefore, the entire time he tried to catch my eye, I just like, I can't explain what I'm doing, but like retreated physically. I shriveled up.
You look like a turtle.
Like a prune, like a turtle.
You like turtles.
I like turtles. So yeah, I was like, absolutely not. And I think even though what you said about, you know, I'm going to walk up to this person and then we're going to fuck. I don't think I thought I held that belief or had that front and center, but what I did have front and center is if I let that person in from like a physical space, them approaching me and feeling like it's okay to approach me, they're going to think that we're going to fuck. And I was like, I don't want them to think that. So I'm going to be really small when they walk past me.
So this goes back to one of the things that was mentioned during the intro talk by Lawrence and Joseph was saying no to people.
Yeah.
And they did a whole thing about, you know, how to say no to people, that it's okay to say no to people, that it's okay to have a conversation. And then because we're all getting to know each other, right? And kind of sussing out, are you somebody I'm interested in or not? And so there is a bit of that to begin with, and that it's okay to say no. Don't take it personally if somebody says no, but also simply say no, thank you. Don't say no, maybe later.
Fuck off. No.
Unless you truly mean it, because if you say no, maybe later, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
And then you're going to think they're a pest.
But also actually, you don't want to be the fuck off because you want to be polite.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You want to be polite. You don't want to say fuck off, and you don't want to say no, maybe later, unless you truly mean it. Just a simple no thanks is enough.
Yeah.
And I think you make such a good point. And it's sort of, again, new neural pathways being built as we speak. I am basically growing up. is that as women, as single women in sort of social settings, I think, at least for me, and I'm sure there are people out here who feel the same way, is coming into a situation where if you give off a certain energy, you know that there is a pursuit. And this happens often to me, yeah. I would say, and not that I'm anything special, but it does happen. And you sort of start to learn to shut down your physical cues if you don't want attention.
Yeah.
And whereas in a situation like that, I think I've felt safer there than I felt anywhere in my entire life. Like I feel more unsafe at just like a house party than yeah. I did in the club.
Yeah. I think
that we've heard that so many times.
Yeah. I think that women are, I'm not going to say taught, maybe society taught, maybe we just learn avoidance. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm not interested in this person or I don't think I'm going to be, I'm just going to avoid them rather than using our words. You know, we don't use our words enough outside of spaces like that, I feel like.
It's because nobody listens.
And maybe it is because people don't listen.
We all run into that at work.
Yeah.
Like, I've discussed that with female colleagues is that, you know, they can say something and it gets ignored. I say the exact same thing. And then people are like listening, to which I often say, well, that's exactly what she just said. Like immediately call it. Fellas, if you're out there and you deal with this shit, immediately call it out.
Yeah. And maybe that's why we don't use our words as much in the, you know, wild world is because people don't hear, they don't listen. And so maybe that's where we learn that avoidance tactic as opposed to just,
I think, to be clear, it's like the words being used fine. It's more like, I don't even want to entertain that option to then say, if I can get away with not having any conversation at all about it, then there's less risk for me. If there is a conversation, I'm happy to have it. It's more just that.
Fair.
You sort of go, if I can get out away from this, then it removes one extra layer of shit I have to go through to make this work.
Yeah. What a bummer.
Fair. But also, I mean, there's the flip side of that is to like, if you do recognize that you're not interested in someone from afar and there is no attraction whatsoever, then again, why waste your time talking to them when there's other people there that you could be talking to and maybe making connections with?
I don't know. I mean, then that makes the whole thing you're only there for sex. Like, just because I don't want to fuck you doesn't mean that I can't learn something from you or teach you something.
Yes, I'm just playing devil's advocate because there's many a time that we've been like, oh, we're not interested in those people. Then later we talk to them, it's like, holy shit, we actually really like you.
Also that.
So that happens too. So I was just playing devil's advocate, but I will say, don't necessarily make snap judgments all the time.
Yeah.
But it's easy to do because we do it out in the world, right?
Well, yeah. There's a lot of unlearning that I think I have yet to do as well. And I think going into a space like that with people who I trust and who I know.
Who were they? Oh, okay. Where were they?
kicks out of the table. Going into the space with people that I know and I trust and I love is amazing. But I think there's still a lot of unlearning to be done in a space like that where it's just so, it's not my regular Tuesday night, you know?
It's because it was a Friday night.
They're
not open Tuesday nights. Why do you like us? Why do you like me?
I don't remember anymore.
Angela.
I'm struggling to hold on to that memory. Remember the neural pathways, right? For the neural pathways.
For the love of God, save the neural pathway and would you like us?
But there's a lot of unlearning to be done and new learnings to be had. And I think that that's...
I think it's a really great point.
Yeah.
I like that. That's beautiful.
I do too. And I think it's a smart thing. Like, you know, we are all constantly learning, or we should be. And I think it's... A new space like that really does sort of foster new feelings, thoughts, experiments, whatever, and new neuro pathways.
Yeah, there you go.
And it makes us rethink, why am I behaving like this? Why am I having these thoughts? Where is this coming from?
Every day I think of all of those, phrases that you just said, like that is on a daily basis. Why am I thinking like this? Why am I having these thoughts? Where is this coming from?
It's something I've been thinking more and more is, I use this at work, but I think it's really applicable here and is one of those unlearning phrases, I suppose, is, if anyone else has time or the energy to give a fuck, that's their problem. Like if someone's looking at me and I'm feeling a bit nervous or I'm, you know, doing something that, you know, I'm not sure about or whatever it might be. And I'm like, maybe someone's watching, maybe someone's judging me. If someone else has time and energy to give a fuck, that's very sad.
I actually really like that.
Something I said to someone at work recently, and it came from a very specific place of like, you know, what was going on in their world. And I was like, it's hilarious that someone gives a fuck about that thing that you just said. Like, feel sorry for them. It's actually not on you. And I think the same can be applied in a space where you're, you know, you're at a play party, you're uncertain, you're, you know, If someone gives a fuck, that's on them.
And it is funny because we've seen that and we've done that where you're in a room full of naked people and you're going, oh, I don't like the way I look.
Yep.
Like, really? You're in a literal room full of naked people and like your biggest concern is the way you look to other people? Mm-hmm. No, don't worry about that shit.
Something my best friend said to me the other day was like, maybe you just need to be more humble.
Like, oh my God.
But it's more in context, but it was from like a therapist that said this to her that said she shared with me. And the idea of being like, oh, I just feel like if I don't look some kind of way or do this thing, you know, it all comes crashing down. It's like, maybe you just need to be more humble. Like you can't have that much impact on the world.
Oh my God. That is, I do like that.
And it's a really good way to undo like perfectionism
But also I will say that if you have body image issues, I know it's hard, but honestly, the Swingers Club is the best place to be because there's many a night where I have felt really not good about myself and my body. We go dressed down anyway. We may play, we may not, whatever. And you end up getting complimented. And it's like, okay, if you can compliment me when I feel like shit about myself, then it must not be terrible. Like, it must be okay.
You're more than okay. Just in case,
but you know.
Yeah, you're almost mediocre. But yeah, just for the record, men don't get that.
No.
No. Men don't get
okay.
that. No, very rarely when you're walking around dressed down at the club do...
Other people say.
Oh, I thought you meant feeling bad about yourself.
No. I'm talking about compliments okay. when right. you feel bad about yourself. Right. Oh, we feel bad about ourselves. Just no one fucking cares. People watch the news and are like, oh, you're a cisgendered white male. You must feel great. No. Honestly, that's the problem with most cisgendered white men. They feel like fucking shit, so they decide to make everybody else feel like shit.
Okay.
Let's
not go down that rabbit hole.
Anyway, I don't. I mean, I do feel like shit. I don't want to make other people feel like shit. Yes. So there you go. So we did go downstairs. We played a bit with the floggers. That was fun. I was feeling Gurr and Dom, which
I know.
Is.
It was fun to watch.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
I did turn around at one stage and I was watching this. It was art. Like, I got so distracted at one point.
It's very hard to flog somebody's ass when they're turning around.
I needed to watch. I'm so sorry.
I thought it was hilarious because, halfway through, Jen's, like, bent over the spanking bench being flogged by Bradford. And all of a sudden, she turns around and is trying to watch while being flogged. And I'm like, this is going to either end really horribly or Bradford's just not going to be able to hit anything because you're all twisted and weird.
It was like flogging Gumby.
Hey.
That's a compliment. I really... Gumby's hot.
I was going to say, I'm like, hang on. But I couldn't, as soon as I like looked around for like, I can't remember why I must have. Oh, I think you, I could hear that noise of the thing you were hitting behind you. And I was trying to figure out what that was. So I turned and heard at the noise and then was watching you do your thing. And I was like, well, now I have to stay here. I can't not watch this. I can't not enjoy this at the same time. So I made your job harder, but thank you for doing it.
You're welcome. I did learn that having not done it since November, so December, January, like 3.5 months, my left hand has not the aim that it once had.
Your left hand forgot what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, it was like, what is wrong with you, lefty? Why hast thou forsaken me?
That's what you get for not using me.
I use him sometimes. It's like it's someone else is doing it. Thank you. And then we went upstairs, found a private room, utilized the private room. We're disgusted by the fact that some people couldn't find where the goddamn bins are.
It's a small room. There's a bin in every room. It's very clear where the bin is, and yet there's this pile of trash. And I'm just like, what? The bin's right there. Come on, people. Yeah, people are gross.
People are. Ugh.
We all like had a more violent reaction to that than many other things that happened. Like all of us looked and went, oh. Can you just, like it was just really upsetting and all of us are picking up like wrappers and bits and we're like, how could people be like this?
Fucking animals. Yeah, I do love that. That's such a, you got to see a very experienced swingers club attitude, which is when you walk into a room, you see all of this stuff, all like downstairs, you see people of all different types, you see sex of all different types. And then you walk into a room and there's condoms on the floor and you're like, ugh, fucking animals.
Oh, these people.
They're disgusting.
So true.
Yes. I love it. Yes. Yeah. And then we got some final drinks, got dressed. I did one thing we didn't talk about, which we're going to rewind back to the very beginning, was you sent us a message with a picture of yourself. Like, is this okay? And also, should I bring a sweater? Is it going to be cold?
So,
would you like to talk about that a bit?
So I think I had no idea. The fact that you brought up the sweater, I've deleted that from my brain until just now.
Nope.
Sorry. I didn't know what to wear. And if I think about the sexual encounters I've had of all varieties, I feel like I know what I'm going to wear. Like, I'm like, ooh, they're sexy underneath. And then we put on something on the top. And usually that's like anything between like harness, corset, something lacy, like you pick it, garters, whatever, all that stuff.
And a sweater?
Shut the fuck up. That's... you fucker. That's the trench coat that goes on the top, Bradford.
Right. You have a sweater trench coat? That's badass.
I know. Thank you. Hang on. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you noticed. But that's what I wear. And then it's like we're going to a party, a swingers party, a party where exciting, sexy things happen. And my brain went, do you wear normal clothes?
No.
Do you wear sexy clothes? Do you wear the sexy clothes under the normal clothes? Should the normal clothes also be sexy? Should
Do I need a suit of armor?
Like, so what you do is you layer up. So you have your lingerie, then you have sexy clothes, then you have normal clothes, then you have your winter clothes, then you have your sweater trench coat.
Your sweater trench.
I feel like there is some context required here. So I was in the car. I'd gotten there 10 minutes early. I text from the car because of all the nights, it was actually colder than it had been.
That's because, like, keep in mind, this is Sydney summer here.
And I was like, and because you know when you, you know when you go to the movies, the cinema.
Yes.
The movie theater. And you go and you watch a fucking movie and it's like a million degrees outside. And then you sit and you have your fucking popcorn and your fucking Coke and you're there in the movie theater. And then it's like 2 degrees and you're like, should have brought a sweater. So this is the reason I was like, I may not play. I may just be sat in the social area. And if I'm not playing, is it 2 degrees because everyone else is fucking? Because if I owned the place and everyone be fucking, that aircon would be blasted. And if I'm not fucking, I'm cold. And that was my thought.
I mean, the logic is fair.
Thank you.
Yes, the logic is
fair. So my sweater trench coat.
But it's still funny.
But it is funny because it's not.
Is it really a trench coat?
No.
Oh, that's now I'm depressed.
Oh.
When's your birthday?
I'm a Scorpio, babe.
Yeah, I mean, you looked hot.
Yes.
If that helps.
You made wise choices.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think Angela saying dress to impress, I think was enough for me to go, that's good. That's helpful. And then I sent the photo to the group chat, received only one response from the four people in it.
I responded.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Let's see. I said, yes, that's great.
Oh, no. Okay. I didn't.
And then I sent a GIF of a guy with two thumbs up.
Oh yeah. That's right. Because Bradford, I was getting ready or doing something.
The excuses.
We were talking about it and he showed me the picture and I was like, oh yeah, that's great. But then he replied. So I was like, okay, that's good. He replied.
I also do love that your response was okay. Thank you. And then in quotes, you're doing great, sweetie.
Well, that's how it felt. It was like just Bradford coming to the rescue, being like, yay, you look great, thumbs up, gifts galore. But like no one else said anything. And I thought, okay, if Bradford said it's okay, if it's not okay, it's his fault.
I love it. Yeah, we're a very supportive team.
Yeah, I was on the sidelines looking over Bradford's shoulder and was like, yep, he said it was good. Yep.
Don't bring a sweater.
You don't need a sweater. Don't
unless all
sweater.
You're wearing is a sweater or a sweater dress.
Still don't.
Sweater dresses are the hottest things in the world. So sexy.
Yeah.
And also very hot as in sweaty and not in a fun way. Do not wear a sweater dress.
Or if you wear a sweater dress, you plan to take it off very quickly.
Don't even need to plant. Just do it. You'll need to. You'll need to do that.
I love it.
Except remember a bra. I think that was my big mistake. If it's your first time, I wore like a harness that didn't have like booby covers. Mm. I don't know how to say that. So it was either like have a shirt on or have no bra on. And I felt like I needed the middle ground.
Yeah.
Okay. Like if you're not keen for your titties like or your nips to be out, all the time, but you still want to be sexy dressed down, mm-hmm. bring a bra.
Okay. Fair enough.
Bring a bra.
That's fair.
Mm. Yeah. You'll know that for next time.
Yeah.
Newbie tips. I feel like next time I think I'll be fine. I think it was just that initial, like, I don't know. It was like one or three. I didn't have option two. I had one or three.
Yeah.
Did you say newbie nips?
No, I said newbie tips.
I thought you said newbie nips.
It can be both.
I was like, it just hit me. It's like newbie nips. I like that. I like that.
Okay. Yes. That's what I said.
Wait, just cut it again. Newbie nips.
Oh my gosh. So the next day, how did you feel?
Oh, you know what? I actually thought about how I would answer this question today and didn't come up with an answer. So here we are.
Improv.
Ooh. So the next day, I think I felt like equal parts, like a little disappointed. And I don't know whether that was in the experience or in myself. Maybe there were some expectations I didn't hold about the event, but that I held for me mm-hmm. might have been part of it. But then the other half of me was like, I'm really glad I did it. But I'm like, hanging for a banging. Like I felt like there was an underlying expectation where I was like, I'm going to have so much sex. And then I didn't. And so then my regular came over and I was like, we're going to have so much sex. So I think, yeah, I was grateful that you guys were there, I think is the main thing. So go with a person that you trust if you're a bit nervous. And definitely if things don't eventuate the way that you think they might, don't worry about it.
Okay. So if you wanted to have all the sex, if you go back again, would you behave differently to make that happen?
And you know what? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that there's this, and I think you put it so beautifully before when you said the way we operate in day-to-day life is so different to, you know, what it's like at the club. And there is so much unlearning to do. Like it is this whole, oh yeah, I'm going to have so much sex. But in order to do that, you need to meet people. You need to, get rid of all your preconceived notions about who you find attractive and who you're going to do. This isn't like a Hinge date, right? Like it's people being people with other people. And I think when you're new, it's almost like this is like really vulnerable. Here we go. We're doing therapy. You almost come in with like an inflated sense of self. You come in with an ego, I think, in a way.
I'm not going to say maybe. I'm going to give you an out.
Thank you.
I think
I'm ready.
I think that most people assume it's going to be like Caligula and that you're going to go into this space where there's going to be a room that is basically covered in olive oil and naked people. And there's just going to be, it's going to be the fornication nation.
I'm also going to say that there could be a different expectation as a single female going in because porn in society says that we're unicorns and everybody loves us.
Yeah. You're going to be hunted. You're going to be, yeah.
What I mean is when you come in with an ego, I think that there are people who I saw who I was like, oh, I think they're quite attractive or like they seem really lovely or fun or whatever. And then I had my blinders on to like a lot of other people or a lot of other like possible experiences. And I think it was this equal part of like, I don't know how to join in that initial, like the deer in the headlights that you described. And then it was, oh, well, it was either those people are really hot and they'll never want to hang out with me or those people I'm not super attracted to. And what if they also don't want to hang out with me? And then it's like your ego is getting it. Like, and everyone has an ego, right? But it's like your ego is getting us like affronted on both sides. It's like, I would normally not want to fuck you, but like I'm here and we're playing and there are people meeting people. And then there's, I would normally want to fuck you, but I don't know how to start that process because there's no room on the bed in my eyes, in other people's, no, heaps of room, heaps of opportunity. And so I have answered this question in an incredibly long / roundabout way, but it is, you got to do it more than once. It's like the first time you go is never going to be like, wow, I'm a pro now. I'm ready. I know everything. It's wow, there was a lot going on there and I feel like I have no idea what if it will even look at that again.
Yeah, that's valid. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
How have you taken many people to Newbie Night or like been around people who you've known prior to going and then supported them through a Newbie Night?
I don't know that we've specifically done a Newbie Night. We have been around people being their first time to the club, but not necessarily a Newbie Night. Yeah. And one thing I will say for the club is that every theme night has its own vibe. Mm. Also, within theme night, so Newbie Night to Newbie Night or Little Black Dress to Little Black Dress, it can have a different vibe depending on who's there. Also, you might perceive the vibe to be different because of your headspace, your experiences, where you're at, what you want. So we have gone with new people, but I don't think on a Newbie Night. And also going with a new person on Newbie Night is different to going with a new person on a different night, or even say like one of the super big party nights, like the birthday, Halloween, or New Year's Eve kinds of things. So it's a different experience, I would say, every time, no matter what.
Well, the reason I ask is because it's, I wonder if the deer in the headlights response in some moments and the kind of, I'll just hang with you guys. Is that something you see a lot, or is that?
I think that's just common. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very yeah. common.
I mean, cause you stick with what you know, right? Mm. It's a safe quantity. You know, like, we know we like you. You know, we like you. Like, but that's a safe thing, right? You're a school of fish.
Yeah.
And if you're a fish that leaves the school, you get eaten by sharks. So you don't want to do that.
Sexy sharks.
Again, but yeah, that's the thing. But like evolutionarily, that's what we do, right? We stick in groups because there's safety in numbers. And as soon as you leave the group, it goes back to the horror trope of I'll be right back. No, you won't. You're going to get eaten or murdered or both.
So speaking of that, and another interesting thing that happened on that Newbie Night. So we got there a couple minutes before the doors opened and there was already a group of six people outside waiting to get inside. And so we were standing there chatting to them. Everybody made introductions and things, but it was clear that group had been there for at least a few minutes. And I noticed that that group tended to stick together inside. They played together. They hung out together. Now,
damn it.
could it be that maybe they clearly made a connection on some level? Had they not been standing outside, I'm curious if they would have connected with each other or would they have gone for other people in the moment? And we'll never know. But I think that that did make an impact. And it is, you're making a connection with someone in a common way before you go into the space that nobody's been to before. And so there's that kind of goes into that friendship formula.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Oof, that's good. Look at you.
That's so, throwing it back. Wow.
Anyway, that's all I got.
That's also part of Bradford's flirting and body language class, friendship formula. So, yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dang it, I should have been a minute earlier.
Yeah, so interestingly, they went in and they're like, you can come on in with us. And we're like, no, we're waiting on a friend.
See, there were so many people, I'm like, Bradford, introduce me. And you were like, oh, ha, 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 ha.
Wait, what? I never said ha, 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 ha.
Nick, you were like, really? Okay. And then looked around and then I don't know where you went. Walked away.
Found
a super fan.
None of that sounds true.
But ultimately, I felt really positive about the experience.
Good.
It was just, I think it's a lot of stimulus and a lot to unpack about why you feel the way you do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I think it's worth the time to unpack that and then learn more about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So that when you go next time, you know, like say on April 26th for the Rocky Horror Pendulum Party.
Okay. See you there.
Yes. So there you have it. Our return to Newbie Night and our taking of Jen to the Newbie Night.
Yes to all.
Thank you so very much for joining us tonight, for giving us your insights, your experiences, and being as vulnerable and kind with your opinions. And yeah, we really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me on and letting me share and do a bit of a ramble.
Yeah.
Develop some neural pathways.
Developing some myself.
Oh, yeah.
So there you have it. If you want to tell us your stories about your own experiences at Newbie Nights or any other nights, all you have to do is message us. You can email us. We are theatomsoflove@gmail.com, or you can reach us at any of our socials. We are at By the By Podcast on both Facebook and on the Instagram, or you can go to www.bytheby.com and then go to the contact us page. There is a way to submit and it comes straight into our inbox. That's right. Don't you want to get in Angela's box? Inbox.
Being a way to submit.
There's a lot of room in my box.
So many messages have been submitted there. Wonderful, wonderful messages. Yes. So we thank you very much. And we will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
Bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.